This is Darian Sahanaja of the Brian Wilson Band, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And we have a busy show today. We will talk with Ryder Cooley. She's the woman behind the Dust Bowl Fairies band that plays locally and is playing Halloween weekend in Albany and Troy. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it's during our WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. It's our 10th anniversary pledge drive. And we're asking for your help, wgxc.org/donate, calling 518-697-7400 and making a pledge. To keep local community voices on the air, to keep hearing Democracy Now! Every day at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday on the radio at 90.7 FM. And hear young people on Friday evenings and older people all throughout the week on WGXC. There are all ages on the air and all different kinds of voices for you to hear, different points of view and different ideas about your community. That's what community radio is all about, and that's why we're asking you to go to wgxc.org/donate, make a difference today. Stay tuned, the local news is next, and then it's time for the WGXC Morning Show.
This is the network.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Funkhauser, host of Poet Radio, my Fall Pledge Drive show on Thursday, October 28th, 7 p.m. We'll feature recordings I've made of local legend Ed Sanders over the years. Tune in and please pledge your support for WGXC.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Sam Rawdins is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the as-yet unidentified buyer of the Kaz warehouse site in the city of Hudson has signed off on a deal for a still undisclosed sum of money, the Hudson Development Corporation announced October 26th. The sale of the site, located on Montgomery Street in the city's first ward, needs only the approval of a court because the sale will consist of most of the corporation's assets. An application for the courts is being prepared. court must see how the money from the sale will be spent. According to the state attorney general's office, sales of this nature must be approved by the attorney general or the state supreme court. Approval could take 3 to 6 weeks. HDC officials say the deal will be finalized within 10 business days of court approval. It remains unclear what the mystery buyer plans to do with the land, but HDC Board of Directors President Robert Rasner claims the buyer has plans and dreams for a new Hudson neighborhood. Quote, "We have worked so long for this, it's such good news," unquote, he added. Rasner said the pending sale will provide revenue that can steer the future direction of the organization. HDC Board Treasurer Philip Foreman said the organization should focus on creating new jobs with the anticipated revenue and suggested using, quote, "our funds to maximize impact on job creation and economic opportunities in Hudson," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports in Columbia Green Media that 2 days after the father of Harold Handy III, who was beaten in a police-involved incident last year, made allegations of bribery against Columbia County Sheriff David Bartley, Handy denied those charges his father made. Bartlett also denied the father's allegations of official misconduct and bribery. The younger Handy was beaten near death at a party on the night of July 4, 2020 at the Kinderhook home of Columbia County Sheriff Deputy Kelly Rosenstrach and her husband Alex Rosenstrach, the former owner of Club Life Gym in Bellagio. Both Rosenstrach's and Brian Hagg, 38, of Kinderhook, and Corey Gaylord, 32, of Carrieville, were included in a 25-count indictment with multiple felony charges and second-degree gang assault against each defendant. But there is no date for a trial. The victim's father began alleging at an October 23rd Kinderhook rally that the sheriff conspired with Rosenstrach and attempted to arrange a meeting with Carl Williams of Will Rock Farm in Stuyvesant at a cornfield on his farm where he offered his son $700,000. But the assault victim denies all that happened. Handy III said on October 25th, and I quote, "Sheriff Bartlett had reached out directly to see how I was doing. My father-in-law, Carl Williams, and I met Bartlett, not in a cornfield, but right in front of my in-law's farm shop. There was nothing secretive, and Bartlett was definitely not there as a representative of Alex to negotiate a bribe," end quote. But the assault victim, Handy, did criticize Bartlett's handling of the case at the start. Handy said, and I quote, "My opinion is SIU, State Police Special Investigations Unit, did not release information to or work directly with the Sheriff's Department. I believe Bartlett had failed to do his job in my case, and I will be voting for Don Kraft for sheriff," end quote. Republican Bartlett is currently running for re-election against Democrat Don Kraft. Rosenstrach is among the donors who have given Bartlett's campaign the most money, all prior to the incident, though Bartlett has refused to return the donations. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Melissa Hale Spencer is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise that in addition to the election of various county and municipal officials on November 2nd, New Yorkers will vote on 5 amendments to the state constitution. Any proposal to amend the state constitution must be approved by voters statewide. The amendments put forward this year deal with elections, redistricting, the environment, and the courts. Proposal 1 would amend the apportionment and redistricting process. The number of state senators would be frozen at 63. The process for the state's population would be amended, deleting provisions that violate the United States Constitution. The state assembly and the Senate district lines would be based on the total population of the state, and the state would be required to count all residents, including non-citizens and Native Americans, if the federal census fails to include them. It would also provide for incarcerated people to be counted at their place of last residence rather than at their place of incarceration for the purpose of redistricting. Proposal 2 would add just one sentence to the Bill of Rights in Article 1 of the New York Constitution. Quote, "Each person shall have a right to clean air and water and a healthful environment," unquote. Proposal 3 would remove the Constitution's current requirement that a citizen be registered to vote at least 10 days before an election, and would allow the legislature to enact laws permitting a citizen to register to vote less than 10 days before the election. Proposal 4 is a no-excuse-needed-for-absentee voting amendment. It would eliminate the requirement that an absentee voter must be unable to appear at the polls due to absence from the county or illness or physical disability. Currently, the state constitution allows only these 2 specific circumstances for an absentee ballot. an emergency executive order signed by then-Governor Andrew Cuomo during the pandemic, and then state law following that allowed no-excuse-needed absentee voting to stem the spread of COVID-19. If this amendment is approved, no-excuse-needed absentee voting would become part of the Constitution, reform long sought by voting rights advocates. Proposal 5 applies only to New York City civil court, but must be passed statewide in order to amend the Constitution. The amendment would increase the jurisdiction of the city's civil court, trial court, to hear and decide claims for up to $50,000 instead of the current limit of $25,000. A detailed description of the 5 ballot proposals is available at the State Board of Elections website. Note the 5 propositions are printed on the reverse side of the ballot. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
Rick Collin reports in the Times Union that an appellate division panel on October 21st dismissed a lawsuit filed by a neighbor of the S.A. Dunn landfill in Rensselaer, saying the plaintiff couldn't claim individual harm from the landfill's odors while also contending it was a public nuisance. The ruling against Brenda Davies read, and I quote, "Plaintiffs may not maintain a private action for a public nuisance. A public nuisance is actionable by a private person only if it is shown that the person suffered special injury beyond that suffered by the community at large," end quote. But the landfill is facing other efforts to shut it down. The Rensselaer City Council in June passed a resolution for the closure of the landfill that is next to a school. Earlier this month, the Rensselaer County Legislature passed a resolution asking Governor Kathy Hochul to revoke the landfill's operating permit, which currently runs through next summer. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Raymond Pignone has a rundown for Columbia Green Media of the 3 candidates running for the 2 open seats on the Greenville Town Board. Richard Baer and Travis J. Richards running on the Republican and conservative lines, and Michelle Clark on the Democratic and Working Families lines. Richards failed to submit responses to the paper's questions in time for the final deadline. Incumbent Baer, 68, is a lifelong resident of Greene County. He is retired from full-time employment but currently works as a school bus driver. He previously served as Greenville's assessor and its highway superintendent. Baer says, quote, "Our sewer and water system has always been a top issue. We have been working on that a lot. Our highway and roads are very much a top issue. Our community has grown very quickly in the last couple of years," unquote. He is proud to be a community member, being a town board member, but also someone who volunteers for events such as Greenville Day. "But I am proud of working to get our community moving forward by doing the sidewalk program and also our sewer and water. I am very proud of getting these things moving forward," unquote, Baer said. Clark, 29, is a resident of Freehold and has lived in the county for 8 years. She is employed as an auto parts specialist, Clark says. Quote, "There are several areas of concern here in Greenville, so to focus on one is difficult. I would say our emergency services, including the Greenville Volunteer Fire Department, as well as the Greenville Rescue Squad, are facing difficulties regarding their current buildings. There is inadequate space and in some situations can present hazards to personnel and exposing equipment to the elements unnecessarily," unquote. Clark said if elected, she would like to have inclusive playground equipment installed at the town park, bring in social programs to enhance quality of life for both young and old, and take extensive measures to bring in more businesses and medical providers, to advocate for better wages for town employees. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Melanie Lekosevic reports for Columbia Green Media that 3 candidates are competing for 2 seats on the New Lebanon Town Board in voting this fall. Mariana Anthonison, Britt Buckenroth, and Kevin Smith Sr. all want a seat on the board. Smith has owned Smithy's Pub since 1997 and is running on the Voice of the People ballot line. He previously served as a board member from 2015 to 2019. He listed, and I quote, "working with the Historical Society to bring clean water that you can fill your jugs with next to the Indian Head Fountain at the town hall," end quote, as one of his accomplishments, as well as work on the town park. Smith says, and I quote, "I will be a good board member due to my communication skill set and transparency, as well as willing to work with anyone to better our town. As having served our town, the knowledge I bring, being a former board member, and bringing honesty, transparency, and integrity to our town's people," end quote. Buckenroth is a high school library media specialist running on the Democrat, Working Family, and Vote Mama lines. Buckenroth says the top local issue is, and I quote, a lack of access to fresh, affordable food. We have a wonderful small market that has just opened, and if elected, I would like to see the market expand and be able to offer a wider variety of food to our community, end quote. Buckenroth also said, as outdoor spaces for play and programming, access to a number of resources such as high-speed internet, groceries, and jobs, end quote. Anthonison is an educator running on the Democratic Vote Mama and Working Families party line. Anthonison also listed food as an important issue, saying, and I quote, I would like to give incentive to business that can expand on affordable access to healthy food and staples. I would like to support community programs for all ages in the park and work to get a town community center. I will continue to support Climate Smart Committee's goals to be climate prepared as we plan for the impacts of weather and viruses, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Diana Pinera Zucker reports for the Daily Freeman that Upstate Films will reopen the Orpheum Theater on Main Street in Saugerties November 4th. Earlier this year, Upstate Films bought the Orpheum building from the Thornton family, which had owned it for 103 years. Upstate Films has shown mostly independent movies in Rhinebeck for 50 years and closed the Woodstock Theater earlier this year. Now they will program the three screens in Saugerties, where there are 136, 138, and 145 seats. Before reopening, Upstate Films updated the lobby and a few safety features. They have not announced what will be showing when the screen lights up November 4th, but do say that those attending movies there need to be vaccinated for COVID-19. The theater, Upstate Film officials say, will host live music, Hollywood films, independent cinema, and, quote, community-oriented events and screenings geared for adults and children, unquote, in its first month back. The Orpheum Theater building first opened as a community center in 1908 with roller skating and vaudeville acts. The first films were shown in 1911, and the building became a full-time theater in 1918. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly before 8 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 55 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 57 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. In Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into Creative Community Voices on the air on Wednesday, October 27th, and we're bouncing all over the place today. 10 a.m. we head to Mexico with the Synth Eclectico show. Then at 11 a.m. it's time to go to Hudson for the Hudson Cafe with Maria Manhattan, and she's celebrating 10 years on the air with Radio for Open Ears during our pledge drive and asking you to go to wgxc.org/donate to help. At noon, we head to Catskill. We're live from Main Street where Spike's Record Rack is, and Spike Priggin hosts the two-hour Bedazzled Radio Hour on the air until it's time at 2 p.m. for Rock and Roll Radio and at 3 p.m. for Radio Survivor, and that show today tunes in Native American voices on the air in the early days of radio. At 4 p.m., we head back to Hudson, and the WGXC afternoon show is live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. At 7 p.m., we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook show that's simulcast on WBAI in New York City. At 10 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Clara Pohl and her Mystery Machine show. And then after midnight, we head to Ulster County, and we're live with Peter Aaron, simulcast on Radio Kingston, his Go Go Kitty show, and on WGXC 90.7 FM.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
There are all sorts of events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. You can even add your own by clicking on the Add an Event button and hear your event being read on the radio or seen around the world in the community calendar at WGXC.org. And there are several Halloween-themed events there, too, including Saturday, October 30th. There are trick-or-treating possibilities for youth in the area, both at the Museum of Firefighting on Harry Howard Avenue from 10:30 a.m. to noon, and also at Art Oh My from 1 to 3 p.m. That's out in Ghent on Route 22. Find out more about this trick-or-treating on Saturday, October 30th on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
This is the sound of Radio Wonderland, the Saturday morning show made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, and I'm the host. I'm not the host. The show is just me slicing up at the radio stations. The show has no host. You're the host. You're the host. Listeners like you make this station possible, where art, news, and voices of the local community are all in the mix. See if you can give a little bit regularly, like $5 a month, about 17 cents a day, which is a cup of coffee. If you have a time machine, knowing the money is coming in is the only way to stop fund drives. Go to wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 and keep community radio alive.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, October 27th. A cool and windy day is in store after that nor'easter dropped record-breaking rainfall on New York yesterday. We got over 3 inches in the local better weather rain gauge. Careful going out today, storm cleanup will be underway. A high of only 58 is expected at 3 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 40 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 58. Thursday night will drop to the upper 30s. Sensitive plants should be brought inside. Friday will have a high of 57, and rain will begin near dark. Saturday will be rainy with a high of 57. Pollen levels for today will be not there. It was all washed away yesterday. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:36 a.m., high tide at 8:35 a.m., low tide again at 1:48 p.m. and high tide again at 8:10 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 59 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:44 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see Comet 29P is still exciting astronomers as the volcanic comet pops and fizzes its way through the solar system. Hubble has even been trained on it to watch it shed its layers. Images are still being downlinked. Solar wind speed is currently 393 kilometers per second at 1.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 95. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who would just like to remind you, it is a fall pledge drive here at WGXE, and as the chilly air sets in, one way guaranteed to make you feel warm and fuzzy is to give. So why not give to your local radio station? Head on over to WGXE.org and click on Donate.
Why did you say that? Aloha out there in Radio Land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC. I'm also here to remind you that it's pledge drive season. You can help out the station by becoming a sustaining supporter for as little as $5 a month, with programs that range from new music like Crawl Out from the Fallout to local chat, news, and experimental programs that push the very boundaries of broadcasting. I've never been a part of a more eclectic and invigorating bunch of folks who share the aim to turn radio into art, and it's honestly one of the beacons that drew me to the Hudson area in the first place. It's a vital link to the neighborhood, and a voice for Hudson beyond its borders. You can donate from October 17th through October 31st in celebration of 10 years, and with an aim for 10 more. You can donate at wgxc.org/donate to make a pledge. And tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every month here on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC. I'm also here to remind you that it's Pledge Drive season. You can help out the station by becoming a sustaining supporter for as little as $5 a month. with programs that range from new music like Crawl Out from the Fallout to local chat, news, and experimental programs that push the very boundaries of broadcasting. I've never been a part of a more eclectic and invigorating bunch of folks who share the aim to turn radio into art, and it's honestly one of the beacons that drew me to the Hudson area in the first place. It's a vital link to the neighborhood, and a voice for Hudson beyond its borders. You can donate from October 17th through October 31st in celebration of 10 years, and with an aim for 10 more. You can donate at wgxc.org/donate to make a pledge. And tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every month here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Giving parents the option to make that decision for themselves will be something that in history we will be glad that we were able to do.
Infectious disease doctor Yvette Fuller and other members of an FDA panel voted to approve a lower dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11. Pharmacological consultant Dr. Beatrice Setnick was among experts who testified Tuesday. She argued that Pfizer has not released data on how the vaccine could spread in the body.
The overwhelmingly high likelihood of survival rate of 99.99% in children is not a justification for emergency use.
And President and CEO of Meharry Medical College, Dr. James Hildreth, pointed out disparities in the research.
I was disappointed at the number of minorities in the Pfizer study, but such a small percentage of the total because they bear the brunt of disease and hospitalization.
However, Captain Amanda Cohen with the National Center for Immunizations and Respiratory Diseases said the benefits outweigh the risks.
To me, the question is pretty clear. We don't want children to be dying of COVID, even if it is far fewer children than adults, and we don't want them in the ICU.
The FDA could issue a final decision this week. Meanwhile, a growing number of businesses are calling for the Biden administration to delay its vaccine mandate and testing rules until after the holidays. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration's emergency temporary standard requires the COVID-19 vaccine for workers at businesses with 100 or more employees. D.C.-based employment attorney Scott Hecker told lawmakers that stakeholders should have an opportunity to comment.
Nobody has the text of this ETS yet, at least in the regulated community. OSHA has it, OIRA has it. But beyond that, we don't know what's in it. So it's really hard to determine what the cost of testing allocation will be, paid time off requirements. And those are all practical impacts on employers.
Roughly 3,500 organizations and businesses have already adopted vaccination requirements. Progressive Democrats are pledging to block a vote on a bipartisan infrastructure bill until a deal is reached on a massive social spending package. Disagreements linger over Medicare expansion, paid family leave, and climate initiatives. Senate Democrats released a new plan Tuesday to help pay for the package that would apply a 15% minimum tax on profits for companies pulling in more than $1 billion. Terrorist groups in Afghanistan intend to strike international targets within the next 6 months. That's according to Defense Department Undersecretary Colin Call.
We could see ISIS-K generate that capability in somewhere between 6 or 12 months. I think the current assessments by the intelligence community is that Al-Qaeda would take a year or two.
Call testified to the Senate Armed Services Committee that 450 American citizens are still in Afghanistan following the U.S. withdrawal. Internal GOP polling finds Republicans leading Democrats on a generic ballot for the first time this cycle. Republicans are carrying independent voters by 8 points and college-educated white voters by 3 points. They tie with Democrats among Hispanic voters. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trusted indicators to support transparency and accuracy online at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening. To 90.7. WGXC Acre
Catskills.
Today.
Now we hear from a band with members based in both Greene County and Columbia County, the Dust Bowl Fairies. Here's their 2020 new song, Candy Store.
Thank you.
Take the can of gasoline, spread it on the floor. Take the match, mix scratch, no more candy store. Hey,
take the match, mix scratch, no more candy store. Hey,
take the match, mix scratch, no more candy store.
Once there was a brothel, business was so bad. Ask the ladies what to do. This is what they said. Take a can of gasoline, spread it on the floor. Take a match, make a scratch, rock them no more.
Hey,
take a match, make a scratch, rock them no more.
Hey, take a match, make a scratch, rock them no more.
Once there was a jailhouse, conditions were bad. Ask the inmates what to do, and this is what they said. Ha ha! Take a can of gasoline and spread it on the floor. Take a match, mix a scratch, jailhouse no more.
Hey! Take a match, mix a scratch, jailhouse no more. Hey! Take a match, mix a scratch, jailhouse no more.
Once there was a madhouse, conditions were bad. Ask the patients what to do. This is what they said. Take a can of gasoline, spread it on the floor. Take some match, make a scratch.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day, slipping into stockings, stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat. The office where the papers grow, she takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake. It's just another day. It's just another day.
Yeah.
day she takes a morning bath, she wets her head, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day. Slipping into stockings, stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat. Oh, it's just another day.
Ryder Cooley is the founder of Dust Bowl Fairies, a dark carnival band from New York Hudson Valley. Their eclectic repertoire of songs draw inspirations from circus and post-punk and Eastern European folk music. Perfect in the capital region for Halloween weekend. Talking with me now is Ryder Cooley.
Hi, Andrea.
You have so much going on right now, it makes my head spin.
I know, it's making my head spin too. Well, my head's usually spinning, but it's spinning extra.
We know you mostly through Dust Bowl Fairies.
Oh, the Dust Bowl Fairies is my kind of like my number one labor of love these days. We've been out and about a lot playing music.
Well, you're certainly coming up here to the Capital Region next weekend. You'll be in Albany as well as Troy. You want to tell us a bit about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the Capital Region, you know, I used to live up there, and I went to graduate school at RPI, and it's really been just pulling me back lately, which is really fun. Our duet is going to be in Albany on the 30th at Dax Seasonal Marketplace. It's in Albany at a really nice cafe called Stacks. I haven't been there yet. And then the night before in Troy, we will be at Rare Form Brewing Company, and it's on 90 Congress Street in Troy. And actually the other bands who are playing are Foxcraft and Pony in the Pancake. It's definitely going to be a Halloween-y kind of a show with the Super Dark Collective, and it starts early. I believe it starts at 6. So definitely if you're in the Troy area, put on your costumes on Friday night and come out and join us at the Super Dark Collective show.
Well, it seems appropriate that you would start having such a good time with Halloween. Have you always?
Yeah, I always have loved Halloween, and I do love dressing up in costumes and things like that. So it makes sense, you know, and that we do have kind of a theatrical glam band thing going. And we dress up for our shows all the time. So I think Halloween is just a time of the year when we're playing a lot. We call the music dark carnival music, and we've been really playing like a much more up-tempo version of it the last few years. So you can dance to it. It's all very like dark cabaret, sort of dark humor terms of the lyrics. So I like to call it gothic polka. It's accordion driven. So it's that kind of like Eastern European scales with a sort of like up-tempo polka beat. So it's really fun. And we're playing with the full band on Friday night, the five-piece band.
And Friday night is in Troy?
Yes.
And who's in your band? I know that John Wooden is.
Yeah, playing the duet just since the pandemic, because it's not always that easy to book the full band anymore. The music venues are still kind of trying to figure out, you know, how to do shows in this new world. And so it's been, you know, easier to book a duet than a five-piece band. But we're always very excited when we can do the five-piece band, because we all love playing together so much. In addition to John B. Wooden, we have Ruby LaRue on lap steel. We have Liz LaJudas, the River Fairy, on the bass. And Andrew Stein is the Maniacal Time Fairy on the drums and percussion. And Ruby, by the way, we call her the Feisty Fairy. So everybody's got their little band names and band identities. It's really a fun time.
How did the name for the band come about?
It came about on a New Year's Eve, just some friends sitting around. I've always identified as, well, not always, but for quite a while I've identified as Fae or a fairy. My friends were kind of like having a good laugh, and because I've always been a little kind of like scrappy artist, and so they were like, you're like a Dust Bowl fairy. we all thought that was pretty cute and that would be a good band name. And then we formed the band shortly thereafter, so that was the name we went with.
You have a film that your music video, Candy Store, has done absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah, that's thanks to Lisa M. Thomas and her production company, Thin Edge Films. We've been collaborating with Lisa for several years now, and she's made a bunch of films and videos with the band. But the Candy Store is definitely takes the cake. It's 8.5 minutes, and we call it a music novella, and it's kind of a short narrative featuring a song by the band. And, you know, the band members are performers in the video. Because it's not your typical music video, Lisa's been getting it into a lot of festivals, and she's been winning some awards, so that's been really exciting. And Film Columbia Festival in Chatham, New York.
What's your latest release? Have you written new music? Is The Plague Garden the latest?
The Plague Garden is our album that we put out last year, 2020, during the pandemic. It was recorded partly remotely and at home with my housemate, Mike Schoonmaker, who's an audio engineer. Conveniently, we were kind of quarantined at home together, and so we did the album. It's a lot of the kind of more up-tempo music that we've been playing lately. There are some of our older songs that were not yet recorded on that album, and there's also some of the new songs that we wrote during the pandemic. It's a really kind of fun range of new and old material, and we're hoping to put out an EP, like record something this winter. I think the shows are going to slow down for us pretty soon. as everything's going indoors, and so we'll probably record something in like January or February. And we're also doing a really fun vinyl project in January. It's a studio called Least of All, LeestavaLL. They do unique press vinyls, like each recording is a unique performance. So what will happen is that people can pre-order a vinyl. We will play, and there's a list of songs. They pick their song, and then we perform that song for that person. That specific performance is pressed as a single for that person, and so there's no other copies. They don't do any duplication. It's all just unique singles. That's going to be in January, and we're going to announce a pre-order soon for any vinyl files out there. It's pretty special. We had no idea people were doing this, but it's a really, really cool studio in Brooklyn, and you can apply to be a part of their series if there's other people listening who are interested.
Do you have to have a standard turntable to hear it then?
Yeah, so you would need a turntable to hear it.
It's really for people who appreciate the sound off of vinyl. It's a little more sensitive and more textured, the sound. So, wow, that's interesting. Super. Well, we'll look out for that. Well, we'll certainly look out for you over the next couple of days, Friday and Saturday. Bon, great to see you. You know, that was great. You were here in the summer at Opelka Gallery, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we played at Opelka in Albany, and we played outside for the Troy Music Hall. So, yeah, we've been up in the Capital District a fair amount.
Many who have seen you either outside the Troy Music Hall or at Opelka Gallery will really welcome seeing you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay.
This is Andrea Cunliffe from Hudson Mohawk Magazine speaking with Ryder Cooley from the Dust Bowl Fairies, celebrating the Halloween weekend in Albany and Troy.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sheena Salvino of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
3, 4. With your head in the clouds and your heart in the mud, you clutch at the crumbs that fall. On a pinch of his head, give your life any sense. Say that you've been a success. And you live in the shadows, deep in the shadows, you grow. You crawl. And if your days seem to grind, it's just a trick of the mind to make you believe you're alive. So you grab an ideal and clutch to a stream. Makes you feel real, so it seems. And you live in the shadows, deep in the shadows. You crawl, you crawl, you crawl, you crawl. And there on your wrist, another second ticks. Another hour slips away. With your head in the clouds and your heart in the mud, you're clutching at crumbs, that's all. And you live in the shadows, hide in the shadows, live in the shadows, deep in the shadows. You crawl, you crawl, you crawl, you crawl.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Yeah, it's runny, 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 yeah.
some guns and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, she's self-assured. Oh no, I know a dirty word. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, 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 how low. With the lights out, less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid, contagious. Here we are now, entertain us. A mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido, yeah. I'm worse at what I do best, and for this gift I do feel blessed. And our little group has always been and always will until the end. Hello, 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 how low.